Episode 1, A Feeling and a Calling. This is the Dearly, Deeply Burdened podcast. Hello, friends, and welcome to Episode 1 of the Dearly, Deeply Burdened podcast. I am so glad that you are here. I'm your host, Miriam. This podcast is an Empty Frames Initiative endeavor. Empty Frames Initiative is a nonprofit that has been going since 2015 with the mission of empowering orphaned and vulnerable youth as they transition out of state's care. This podcast is not super scripted. I do have a guide to the side to make sure that I stay on track and don't go way over time. But the truth is that this podcast is really just a response to conversations that I've been having a lot with people over the last 9 years, almost 10 years now, about calling and purpose and reasons that we do things the way that we do, that I choose to do things the way that I do. This, like I said, it's not scripted. And so you're going to hear a couple of ums and ers. And I hope you'll bear with me as we navigate that. We're not going to be doing super heavy editing on this podcast because it's meant to be real and a conversation. And we are a small team with resources that we believe could go other places. So for now, for this very first season, I am asking you to bear with me through the awkward, and hope that you will enjoy the conversation for what it is. In 2024, really only a few months ago, I did an interview for another thing about Empty Frames Initiative, and it didn't go super well. And one of the reasons that it didn't go well was because the interviewer was not satisfied with my answer to why do you do this? Meaning, why do you do Empty Frames Initiative? Why do you work with this population? He phrased it 100 different ways. And I gave him the same answer that I've been giving people for the last 9 years, which is God told me to. There's more to it than that. It's obviously a very long conversation. But it does come back to something really basic, which is this is what God called me to. And over the last 9, almost 10 years, I've had this conversation with a lot of people. It's like, how do you know? What do you mean by that? What is it that you really believe that would lead you to do something that you don't see the results of for such a long time? And we've seen incredible things. God has done so much through the faithfulness of our team, but it doesn't look the way that we thought it would. And so when you talk to people and you're like, no, God told me to do this, they want to see results. They want to see what would be viewed as a miracle immediately. And if it's not there to their satisfaction, sometimes it's like, well, are you crazy? And I think that this is a very normal question, even in the church, because we a lot of times will be looking for life to be broken down into like the categories of the miraculous or the mundane. And we believe that if you say God called you something, that we should be seeing the miraculous evidently. And I do believe that we have seen the miraculous in our organization, but it's not always something that I can give people and see like, hey, look, this is the miracle that occurred today. It's more between people and doing it for the one. And so today we're going to talk about that a little bit. Understanding the idea of calling, the idea of feeling led to do something that you might not see the fruit of for a long time. So for Empty Frames Initiative, when we first started 9 years ago, this verse was really heavily on my heart. It's Psalm 90:12, and it's so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I think the very first piece of talking about feeling and calling and being led to something is acknowledging that you have no guarantee of time here on earth. And that was something that very early on God was like, I'm calling you to obedience now, regardless of how long you are walking this out. I'm calling you to obedience. So these are some thoughts that we've had over the years that have just been collected, and I'm just going to read some of it out. But this is the first step to kind of acknowledging the difference between a feeling and a calling, and it's going back to Scripture and what He has to say about our lives as believers. If we've accepted Christ, if we are part of God's people, then what are we called to do with whatever time we have left here on earth? So when we as human beings see tragedy or people simply living lives opposite our own, we have the ability to think about it and evaluate it. We ponder, we empathize, or in some way experience a degree of compassion. There are many compassionate people in the world, and there are people who say, thank goodness that's not me. And in all honesty, both of these responses make sense depending on your own circumstances. But followers of Christ should know it goes deeper than thinking, deeper than simple reaction responses. We know we will be held accountable for our actions. We will be held accountable for the time that we have here on earth. Some verses related to that, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's Ephesians 4. And then 1 Peter 2:11, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You may not know what you're meant to do, and that's okay. You shouldn't feel pressured into doing one specific thing, but you should stop and pray about and ask, expecting an answer, what am I supposed to do right now with this brief time I have on earth? What am I called to do? Over and over, Scripture tells us that He will give us opportunities to follow Him. The first time when you choose to live a life for Christ, that's amazing. This is the universal Christian experience, saying yes to Christ, accepting His forgiveness for our sins. The next time when He asks you to use your gifts for His glory, that's also important. It's amazing. It's an opportunity to give our lives real purpose, because when you are using your life for His will, you are taking part in salvation. It's how the Lord has chosen to spread the gospel. It's how He has chosen to do His work on earth. You have a purpose here. You have a calling here. And it's not all going to be the same. We're not all meant to be teachers or pastors or revolutionaries. We are called to do something, and every role is important, not only for the salvation of others, but for your own salvation as you grow in relationship with Christ and understand fully the life He has for you. The more that you lean into His purposes, the more you get to experience the depth of love He has for you, the plans that He has had for you. When Christ said that if others did not worship Him, the rocks would cry out, and when He chose to let a donkey speak, and when He spoke to Moses through a burning bush, He told us that He could do all of this without us, but He chooses to allow us to partner with Him, to give us the opportunity to steward His calling on our life. Our biblical calling is not one of apathy or regret. It's not going to be one that is free of pain. It is not one that is without struggle. But it is one that leaves us with the feeling of being complete. Isaiah 1:16-18 says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In Psalm 68, 4 through 6 says, "Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, yeah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land." The last verse on this we're going to talk about today is Psalm 68, 5 through 6. "A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land." We say that one twice, not only because I had it in my notes twice, but because this is the heart and the character of God. There was this song that was really popular when I was in high school, in our youth group and in just churches in general. And it had the lyrics, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." And here's the thing, God has revealed repeatedly throughout scripture what breaks his heart. He has revealed to us continually what it is that he wants us to do. And it's not a secret message that he sends to some. He assigned the church, the body of Christ, with a task. And he provided the Holy Spirit to bring conviction that we are still meant to complete this task. We all have unique lives and timelines. But what burdens the heart of the Father has been made clear, and we cannot act as if we don't know. This show is going to advocate heavily for the fatherless and the displaced and the widows, because that's really where we see a lot of modern brokenness stem from. So if we believe that we are called to clothe, to comfort, to exhort, to rebuke, to heal, to seek peace, to raise up not only the poor, the needy, the fatherless, the widow, the displaced, but the body, we know that we are called to something specific, because we were once fatherless, husbandless. We were without Christ as the head of the church, right? And we are currently displaced here on earth and living in the land that is not our home. We have a place where we're going. So there is a very real spiritual battle taking place, and there's a very real physical situation playing out here on earth that believers are called to respond to, that the church is meant to meet. And while the spiritual needs supersede everything, and by that I mean the need for salvation, we are called to point to our Savior in word and deed. We are not supposed to be silent. We cannot say stay still. And in living that out, we are called to meet physical needs. So I'm going to encourage you, as we embark on this first season, to pray, to seek, and to believe that Jesus is alive, and he is making you capable of all that he calls you to if you are willing to obey. We will always face challenges, but he has already overcome. There is so much that we get to be a part of when we accept that he's calling us to something specific. And sometimes people aren't going to understand it. And you're going to be in a situation like Noah, where you are building an ark when you've never seen a flood. So we are going to talk about hearing his will, opening our hearts to listen, and walking out calling that is specific to our lives. Before we go too much further, we're just going to circle back on this concept of the orphaned, the widowed, and the displaced. And in the next episode, when we talk about listening to his voice, we'll talk about how we apply these verses to our lives. And in the episode after that, we're going to talk about social justice. But to put us at a really quick baseline, the social justice movements that we see today revolve around the biblical identification of the most vulnerable. And what believers are meant to see in that pattern is that God already knows where the gaps are. We live in a fallen, broken world where the most vulnerable are simultaneously the most oppressed. Each generation faces new circumstances with old challenges until the return of Christ. Society acknowledges a problem, but the Father provides answers and a calling. So regardless of culture or time, these three groups, the widowed, the orphaned, and the displaced, have never ceased to be society's most vulnerable. We see it throughout history and we see it in modern data. But the Bible showed us first, and it told us what we were meant to do and to be. Just to kind of break this down, in modern society, those who are orphaned or fatherless, in whatever context, we see a lot of impact in human trafficking and slavery. We see imprisonment. We see addiction. We see broken families and cycles of fatherlessness. We see higher rates of suicide. We see homelessness. For the widowed, we see trafficking, slavery, abuse, suicide, homelessness. For the displaced, we see, again, trafficking, concentration camps, imprisonment, addiction, racism, homelessness. We are called to intervene for one person, to believe that one soul is worth the risk we will take combating the injustices of the enemy. And our calling doesn't go away. So, in scripture, when Christ said, "The poor you will have with you always," when we see how this pattern has continued time and time again, and that even when the church steps in, it doesn't completely go away, it's not to make it to where we get discouraged or we stop. It's to acknowledge that because of the brokenness of our world, we know that there are places that we are going to need to intervene until Christ comes back. So, there are some, and I kind of sped through it, but there are implied apologetics when we discuss our faith and eternity and our eternal hope and truth. So for this podcast, I do want to say that the language being utilized is reflecting an understanding of scripture to whatever extent you're able, which whatever extent you have been following after Christ. This is meant for a Christian audience, and it is meant to create community. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a online discussion board. It's going to be through the Empty Frames Initiative Facebook, and you can log in at any time and leave comments or notes or ask questions, and we're going to try to point everything back to scripture. And we want to encourage each other as we are walking these things out. Like, what are we collectively working towards as the body of Christ? If some of these things don't make sense, if some of these things don't line up with your understanding of scripture, the Facebook forum is going to be a great place to put that. We'd love to have a conversation about it. And I do want to acknowledge, like, language is so important. So we will try to bring in some ideas about language and talk about the different things that are meant by the church or the body of Christ or eternity. And I guess that could have been included in this episode, but we're not going to do it this episode. So keep an eye out for that one. We'll do one on language. We'll do one on intentions. And it's going to be, I think, really good. I think it's going to be something that we all want to be on the same page about. And it'll be worth the time to invest in that. I'm going to end each episode with a couple of resources. If you want to just think and go deeper or know kind of some things that directed us. Today I'm going to recommend a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. I'm going to recommend you get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then listen to the song These Days by Jeremy Camp. I am so excited that you are here. I am so excited for the conversations we are going to have. And I just want to affirm you. If you are feeling burdened, if you are feeling called, if you are feeling led, God does have a purpose for that. It is not something that you need to ignore. It is something that he has given you the opportunity to explore and to lean in. So thank you for listening. I look forward to talking to you again.